Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
Today's episode topic is how to talk to Karens about race relations. And it turns out you don't. You have to destroy their world. This is going to be a great episode.
So it's going to bring up a topic that we've seen a lot lately, and we've seen the memes now about Karens, we've seen the jokes. But in reality, it's actually about an individual actually causes a lot of stress and disorder in society because they crave order and they crave the hierarchy of being on top. They know what the hierarchy is and they advantage. And the example is going to be, perfect example is the woman that was just called the police on a black man that was bird watching in Central Park. She did not have her dog on a leash. He called her out on it, confronted her, saying, put your dog on a leash. The dog's ruining the plants. She said no. He said, oh, wait, I'll show you why you should have your dog on a leash. And then immediately called the police on him and threatened him. Now, the best part of this is that he knew what he needed to do. He was recording it. He knew the laws. She had violated it. And he had to basically destroy her worldview in order for her to understand that what she did was unacceptable. Right. And that's the only way this works, because talking rationally to somebody like this does not work, because in their worldview, they're on top and they will do everything they can to maintain that social order. Which leads us into what the overall topic of this will be, how white moderates sort of handle what's going on now with all the riots and the protests that are happening.
So Martin Luther King famously talked about the white moderate in his letter from a Birmingham jail, where he effectively just stresses that he's more disappointed in the white moderate than the outright racist white person. And it's because they had an opportunity to do the right thing, and they effectively chose not to. So in this kind of new worldview of protesting and advocating actively for anti-racism rather than just being not racist, these white moderates or these Karens are effectively letting down, I'm going to say what the societal contract is, which is to value everybody and treat everybody equally and create equity. Karens want to remain on top. They want to enforce their position in the world, and anything that interferes with that is an affront to their rights as entitled, privileged white people. So if we're looking at these protests, and let's look at Minneapolis, let's look at Seattle, let's look at Portland, any of these cities where there's some actual, I'm going to say property damage going on, there seems to be this faux outrage about, oh my God, an Arby's burned down. This is horrible. This is the worst thing ever. But really, it's more of a statement of uncomfortableness, where it's uncomfortable for me that the Arby's burned down because that causes stress on my status quo worldview where I don't know what to do. And that's a problem for me because I don't know what to do. I can't just call the cops in Central Park and complain because it's become so evident that my worldview is just kind of broken.
Yeah, and the funny part about, you know, you bring up property damage and you bring up conversations people have where they say they're destroying their own community, and there's been lots of talks about this lately, what community really is, and it's that the entitlement is full-fledged and enforced when you hear people saying that burning down an Arby's is destroying the community. Because really what it is they want to be able to go out and go to Arby's and get what they want when they want it. And so the entitlement runs super deep within Karens and within white moderates. And it's the reason why they will not fight for you for the change, because they don't want to change what they have. They do not want to lose anything for what they already have. They don't want to lose their ability to go to Starbucks. They don't want to lose their ability for the kids to be in a better school than your kids. They don't want to lose the ability to go out and lease a new vehicle or have their riding lawnmower and their nice, you know, angle cut grass. And if you do that, that's great. Take care of your grass, I guess. Yeah, it's actually
No,
a
never
terrible
take
idea.
care of your grass.
You're not a French king. You don't have to go stomp on your neighbors to have a nice grass. It's an affront. Anyways, but what they Karens, the white moderates, and this can be in any range. It doesn't have to be so extreme as a Karen. It can be anybody who just doesn't want to see the disorder come to them. They don't want to lose their nice suburban household. And we're going to pick on suburbanites a ton on the show. Partly because the white flight, and partly because they are the ones who have the most to lose when society changes. They're the ones that are, they think they have the most to lose. That's
They
right. They
think they
think
have the
that
most to
monetary
lose.
values or house value is what they're going to lose. And it comes down to is who's in more suffering and why. And why are we going through all this rioting and why I don't have control? And again, if we go back to what the Karen is looking for, they're looking for order. So they're going to support the police. They're going to support order because it makes sure that their worldview maintains constant, which is I'm entitled to go where I want to. I can go to Home Depot. By the way, don't support Home Depot, but I can go to Home Depot and I can buy my. I can do whatever I want because I'm a Karen. I can do it. And if I don't like what you're saying to me, I'm going to call the cops or I'm going to talk to your manager.
So in this new world, there's obviously been a lot of discussion about let's defund the police, let's dismantle the police, let's make the police have less of an impact in our society. And regardless of kind of your position on this, if you're a Karen, and let's just look at this sort of from an economic theory perspective of I want the police to exist because I am part of the ruling class and I want the police to protect my interests, which is what police do. So if you're a Karen, what are you doing? You are actively seeking to support the existing infrastructures, which are police. So you're likely to oppose the dismantling or the defunding or the whatever other D word that eliminates cops is. And come up with some idiotic rationalization like, oh, looting is bad. They're damaging our community. No, I'm so hungry I could eat at Arby's. And I mean, try and perpetuate that sort of political worldview. And it's not really productive. It leads to these just completely and grossly ineffective political organizations that basically exist in every large city in the US. There's this notion that we all need to go out and vote, and that's the only way to change anything. But all of these cities have complete 100% Democratic Party control, but they perpetuated the same problems for tens of 20s of years that have led to the situation we're in because nobody's wanted to act. You have the mayor in Atlanta basically telling people the only way to change stuff is to go out and vote. And it's like, well, you're already voted in. So are you suggesting that people vote you out because you're not doing anything? It's just a curious question. And so Karens are going to perpetuate that is that, oh, we shouldn't take serious that looting occurs or there's actual inequality. The way to express your opinion is to vote. Never mind the fact that a little burning in Minneapolis basically resulted in more civic change than has occurred in the last, 20 years. So it's not really an evidence-based thing. It's a worldview reinforcement that continues to place yourself at the top of the hierarchy at the expense of anybody else because for some reason you think you're entitled to that because you've always been entitled to that, which is entitlement largely predicated
And I'm
on
going to
systemic
step in here
racism.
because as part of this podcast is about class consciousness. And we're going to kick off a little bit of theory here just for a second. So there are two major classes of people. There's a proletariat, which is a worker, and that's who we are. We work every day, which means we exchange our labor for money. Then there's a capitalist class that exchange basically just having money for more money. So they're the Bezos, the billionaires, the millionaires who have so many investments that it pays for themselves and they keep making more money. Then there's this middle class of people that we're going to actually kind of compare to the white moderate and call them the upper middle class, but really we're going to call them the petite bourgeois, which is the means the small capitalists. Mm-hmm. And they're actually the most dangerous class that we have because they're the ones that perpetuate the status quo. And they're the ones that had the most to lose because they spend all of the time supporting the capitalist class for their own benefit while stepping on the necks and the throats of the worker. And this is where the Karen excels, because they want the order and they're willing to basically throw everybody else under the bus to keep themselves happy. And this is where, if you take a look at the risk reward structures of what's happening here, a Karen believes that they have more to lose than they will gain if there's structural change. And so they will always support the Blue Lives Matter. They're going to put stuff on Facebook and say things like, if you would only listen to authority, they'll call the police when there's an issue, right? They're going to yell at the kids to get off the grass. They're going to do everything they can to keep that structure and that order. And by the way, grass sucks. Keep putting in there. So just know that the most dangerous type of person is the person in the middle here who kind of works or is in managerial positions, who spend their time basically holding down the worker in support of the capitalist class. And the one major thing that these riots have done that is probably the best awakening since they've happened, you know, every 10 to 20 years these riots happen, is that it requires individuals to do a self-reflection and determine what side are they really on. Because there's basically, you're either for or against the current policing state. There's no in between. And this is what we talk about when we say we destroy and bring down the Karen's worldviews, because they have sat in the middle for so long playing devil's advocate in order to maintain their status quo, that now that there are extremes on both sides, they must choose. And then this is what sort of brings them tumbling down.
So when they tumble, it's a tough, hard fall, because they're mostly in their position due to kind of generational wealth. And it's based on a class position that has not wavered and is also not based on merit. So Karens persist with their wealth because they have wealth, not because they're effective or good at what they do. Not that they aren't good at whatever their wage labor dictates, but they're not weighted equally in the workforce relative to somebody else with the same skills, because they're placed in their position by default, not based on skills, I guess. This is a really coherent kind of statement right here. And so it gets into the class consciousness again, which is Karens are kind of the opposing force to this realization that racism is largely derived from the class divide. Historically, race has been the easiest sort of most naive visual indication of class, and race has then been used to infer that one race is inferior and should be stepped down upon by the ruling class. But there's a concept of, how do I say this? Both whites and blacks actually being in the lower class, which is perhaps a new development in the concept of class consciousness. But poor white people don't really understand it. Martin Luther King said that in the South, poor white people got segregation rather than wages. That was their trade-off. That's effectively what they advocated for, because it was easier to accept that they were better rather than advocate for everybody collectively. And so this concept of Karens has dated back years, civil rights, even before then. And it's the same kind of repetition of whites that are materially affected by the present class divide, but are completely not cognizant of it. And because they're not aware of it, they continue to perpetuate it. And that causes systemic problems that need to be addressed. But the people that need to most become aware of the problem want to call the cops on people that are in Central Park watching birds.
And that's exactly it. And so we're going to talk a ton about this as this podcast goes on, about the class divide, what class consciousness really means, and how we can go about through our own learning and through our own practice and our own identity checking to really grow as to worker and worker hero. And so we can bring up these things called class traders, which we'll talk about later on. And again, that's class trader individuals who will spend their time holding us down. And we'll talk about those that are class heroes that spend their time building us up. And we're going to talk about sort of the complexity that's going to happen when we look at the intersection between race and the poverty that's going to happen, or that we do have intersections with unions and climate change and all the fights we have there. And how do you rectify the need of a worker versus the need of the world? And we got a lot of these things going on. But the major developments in the world right now is that we have people who are on the streets fighting for their own survival, fighting against the white moderates or fighting against the Karens. They don't have to be white. We just bring up the white moderate because of the historical context. It's individuals in the suburban middle class, upper middle class, petite bourgeois, which is petty capitalist band of the class that are fighting against the status quo, or fighting for the status quo, fighting against change. And they are the ones who are the policymakers. They are the ones who donate money the most to political parties. So they're the ones that have the most political sort of capital in this game. There are the billionaires and millionaires who can just write checks and do what they want. But when it comes to writing policy, like things like on the school boards, the things about having contracts in the cities, what parks are going to do, what they're going to do for events around the city, how they're going to change blight laws and zoning laws, and how they're going to handle minimum wage fights in the city, and who's going to handle all of the historical districts and all that. That is all done generally by the individuals who have time on their hands, which is the petite bourgeois, not the person who's working 60 plus hours a week, but the well-educated individual in the upper ring, the upper echelon of the worker movement, or the workers, sorry, individuals who still exchange their work every day for money. And these are the people that we have to change the worldview on. Some of them are going to be harder than others. And in this case, it's Karens. And so with that, Karens crave order. The only thing you can do for us, the worker movement, is go out there and challenge them and make a Karen uncomfortable today. That's it. Make them uncomfortable.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at work.